everybody, and welcome to the Android Central podcast. It is episode number 147 for Friday. I was about to invent a month there. I'm not sure what I was going to say. For Friday, August 16th, 2013. Welcome to the show. I'm Phil Nickinson, your host for this little thing and the editor of AndroidCentral.com. And we are live once again on Google Hangouts, because that's how we do this now. So let's go around the bottom of the screen here for those of you watching and just introduce ourselves. Next to me on that side, we have special guest George R.R. Martin.
You all die at the end.
Jerry Hildenbrand, everybody. I was listening to the Nerdist podcast yesterday. I was listening to an old one where they talked to George R.R. Martin. It's like, oh my God, that's Jerry. Now that I think about it, they're both funny.
You see us both in the same room.
I know, right? You're both funny. You're both huge nerds. So it just kind of worked. Andrew Martonic in Seattle. Or Martinic.
Hey, how's it going?
You're gonna get that name right one of these days, Phil.
You've got it.
I'm going to pronounce it differently every week from now on, just to screw with you, I think.
Sounds good, Phil Nockinson.
Damn it. Look, you know what my full name is, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Edward Phillips Nickinson IV. Phillips with an S.
You were named after the TV.
I would tack that fourth on there every single time if I could.
I would put Esquire at the end of that just because.
I know, right? That was my dad. He was a lawyer. Actually, you know what I just realized, and this is a total first world, holy crap, Phil is spoiled problem, but on certain sections of the airplane, the flight attendants bother looking at the manifest and seeing what your name is so they can address you by name. And I never realized why they had such a hard time. I mean, look, I know you're bouncing around up there and stuff, but finally, she's like, "Is your name Nickinson-iv? Where are you from?" I'm like, "Oh, that's the suffix. It's the IV at the end getting lumped into the last name." So, anyway, funny, not really funny name story. Alex, save me.
Hi. That's all I got.
Alex Phillips Doby the Third.
That was not helpful at all, Alex. Thank you. So, it's the first time we've all been back together for a while, I guess. I'd been on the road the past couple weeks. What's going on?
We got some phones.
We got more new toys. I got a bunch of new toys. I don't know about you.
I got a lot of new toys.
Yeah, Alex, what do you have there? What is that?
Oh, you got the white.
That is the same one Andrew has, which is the Huawei Ascend P6.
I mean, that's nice and all.
Yeah.
So I still have this.
Yeah.
But now it's been paired with this.
That's very glossy.
Was it always so glossy?
It's hugely glossy. This is like Samsung's version of Droid, whatever. No, I mean it's the Motorola Samsung Droid Ultra, basically. So I don't know. I'm just having played with it for a couple minutes. We'll talk about it here in a second. I'm gonna send it up to Andrew to review. But I also got this.
The Pebla.
Did you get one, Jerry? I know you were talking about it.
I don't want to talk about it. Yes, my wife is determined that we're getting one. We, meaning I'm buying it, she's using it.
Right. So what's the problem?
No, I don't know. I've got a very nice watch here that I was given as a gift, and I don't wear it because I don't like to wear a watch.
You've got a very nice wife, too. Buy her one.
I'm going to buy her one. I just want to buy her one on my terms, not because she looks at me and says, "You're buying me a Pebble."
Oh, whatever. Whatever. All right, so I want to start on the Pebble, actually, because I'm not a watch guy. I've been wearing it. It's only been a week now? Yeah, it's only been a week. I can't remember the last time I wore a watch, right? Because I used to play soccer all the time, and you can't wear watches when you play soccer. And just now we have phones, and once I started working for a living, I don't really do that now, but once I started being in offices, right, you're sitting in front of a computer, you've got clocks up on the wall, whatever. So just wearing a watch, you did need to do it. And believe it or not, I'm not a very fashionable person. I know that's tough to believe, but it's true. And so, you know, I just don't wear watches. It still feels weird. I mean, look, it's a huge honking watch. My wife's like, "What the hell is that? It's ugly." And it's big, absolutely. But I've been surprised at how useful I found this thing. And I haven't even, like, done a lot with it. if you don't know the basics, it ties into your phone via Bluetooth, and then you get notifications. It also tells you what time it is, and more importantly, I can play Snake on it. But but getting notifications on here when you're driving, it's awesome. So you just look down real quick. That's it. I mean, half a second glance, just like you were checking a watch. I think it's probably safer than changing the radio almost. It's not to say completely safe. Keep your eyes on the road. But it's surely better than picking out your phone, right, and turning that on.
Well, do you find that having the notifications there all the time means you're checking your phone more often because your wrist is buzzing all the time?
No, what it's pointed out to me is just how crappy my email is, really. I've got all these old Google alerts set up for like the Nexus 4 and Android, and most of what pings that are just these really horrible stories that I have no intention ever of reading. It's a good sign of what not to read or what not to write, actually.
I had a Google alert set up for Nexus 5 for a while. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's really just in the way, and I need to get rid of it. I don't have Tasker set up or anything, so what I've been doing at the end of the night is just turning off Bluetooth so it's not buzzing all night long. I wish it had a mute function. I really wish it had the ability to act on these notifications. You know, it's great that you get your email on there, like, here's a Google alert right now. Well, I can't do anything with it other than dismiss it. I would love to be able to just, you know, click one of these three buttons on the side and it archives it, and I'm done with it. So you still have to deal with the email later. And
that's exactly what I'm telling my wife, because she saw some video of getting a text message on your watch, and she's like, oh, that would be great while I'm out somewhere and you know, my daughter or somebody texts her. And I'm like, yes, okay, you get a text message on your watch. What's the difference between that and your phone going bzz, bzz, and you looking?
Right.
You still have to pick your phone up to answer it.
It's a much smaller action to do this and lift your arm up than it is to reach in your pocket, unlock your phone, look at notifications. And the sort of teething problems we're seeing now with these version 1.0 devices like the Pebble, that's all an ecosystem thing. Yeah. Once the watch is linked in with the same ecosystem that your phone, your tablet runs on, then it's all going to be much more seamless. And I'm sure when we eventually see Samsung's watch, possibly sooner rather than later, and Google's watch eventually, and of course the iWatch, then you have the same company working on the watch as well. Any notifications that are coming in there are surely going to be actionable. There are going to be things you can do right on the watch. And a lot of these problems are going to go away, I think, probably in the next generation of wearable stuff.
My wife is not allowed to watch this podcast.
you know what I really want in it is a microphone.
Yes.
It's totally nerdy and totally, you know, Inspector Gadget or whatever, but I just want to be like, okay, Google now, and then talk to them.
No.
Oh my God, I just set off like six phones on the desk. Yikes.
But you have to be able to call it Scotty. Like, Scotty.
Right. You know, I really want to be able to make calls with this or something.
Yep. Then I would rethink the whole idea of having it.
Mm-hmm. That would make a huge difference in the car. Really, really big. And especially because it's a microphone that you have relatively close to your face, and then your phone can absolutely stay in your pocket. Of course, then you're going to drive around one-handed like this.
What if you do that anyway?
Jerry's all lean back.
I do. I lean back and throw one arm out the window even in wintertime.
So that's been my Pebble experience. The other awesome thing with this is, how did I lock this? Oh, I must have been playing with it. And you can actually do this on the Ultra and on the Moto X. Is there's a setting. Where did you go? Security, screen lock, trusted devices. Do you get turned off? How did I lock? Oh, I locked it manually. There's a setting in here for trusted devices. And that is any Bluetooth device that you're paired with, you can designate a trusted device. So you can still have a security lock, a lock screen on your phone, but when it's connected to that Bluetooth device, as long as it's connected, your phone will stay unlocked. I don't know if you guys can see it here. It says you're unlocked there on the top of the phone.
You put that on Google Plus last night.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so, I saw that.
So anytime Moto X is connected to the Pebble, it won't put a lock screen on it. So the idea is if I were to lose the phone or lose the Pebble, then the phone would lock, right? If somebody were to steal it and run away from me, they're probably not going to have the Pebble as well. And then the phone will lock. Ingenious.
Or they have your bloody arm hanging.
Or they have my, they've ripped my arm from my body, in which case I really don't care. I will gladly hand over my phone at that point in exchange for a Band-Aid. Really good idea. Works great. So.
Well, and it's that little clip thing you all talked about yesterday while I was out playing around.
It got announced this morning. That's the, what do they call it? The Moto...
The Skip.
Yeah, the Moto Skip, so you can skip the lock screen by it. It's some sort of NFC device. I've ordered one. We'll see. And you tap the phone to it. It's a little clip that you put, on your collar or on your belt or something. And
I wouldn't even call it a device. It's an NFC tag with a clip.
Basically,
that's literally all it is.
It costs $20.
To me, that's infinitely useful.
But... Andrew says, it costs $20, but it also comes with these three little, what do they call them? I just wrote that up this morning. Not tags.
Open the page up. I forget which word you used.
Yeah, I forget. These three little things that you can just put around the house, and they've got to be Bluetooth somehow, right? Like a little beacon. And so the phone says, hey, I'm near one of those things. I'm not going to lock myself now. And then it serves as a Bluetooth, beacon, basically.
So isn't the better solution to that to just have unlock while in home Wi-Fi range?
I've used that app.
Than having a bunch of little Bluetooth beacons?
No. Andrew, imagine if you could put one of those beacons in your bag.
Exactly.
And while you're sitting on the bus, you grab your phone and look at something, and you don't have to type in that 96-character password or anything crazy.
Yeah, I can see that.
Skip dots. That's what they're calling these other things. Yeah, but I mean,
then also
it's tied to this watch, right?
Yep.
Right. I mean, but putting the beacon in the bag means that when somebody swipes my bag on the street, I have the beacon and the phone.
It's more secure if it's something that's physically attached to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or implanted.
That's coming. That's next.
That's why I never understood the Bluetooth, the trusted Bluetooth thing for somebody that doesn't have a headset or a Bluetooth watch. It didn't really make a whole lot of sense other than pairing it to your computer when you're at home and getting it that way. But I guess if they're going to try to expand on the number of accessories that it works with, then they obviously have some kind of play with this.
It's only the beginning.
Well,
it really is.
And it will encourage people to secure their phone just so they can play with it, and that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. As much as I say, yes, you have to secure your phone, I have almost never used a lock of any kind, just because, we're testing all the time, right? It drives you nuts. I have one on there, and I haven't had to think about it, right? Is it 100%? Absolutely not. But it's a lot better than what I had before, which is nothing. And I think it's a pretty good compromise between... secure and insecure. And everything's a compromise, right?
Right.
The more secure, the more pain it's going to be, and the less chance you're actually going to do it.
Locks were made to keep honest people honest. You're not going to keep a thief away from it. That's just not going to happen.
So, cool. I'm relatively happy with this. It's humid here, so it feels a little weird. You can get a different band for the Pebble. But I'm really starting to get kind of excited about where this whole space goes between the Pebble and these skip dot things that you just throw around your house or whatever, and leave one at work and one in your house, and it's going to be interesting. It's going to be really cool. What else? You want to talk about the Ultra a little more while I've got it here before I forget?
Yeah, how slimy does it feel?
Oh man, this is I don't
it
have
looks
the
really slimy.
I don't have the GS4 sitting here. I got the GS3 sitting here. It's welcome to plastic land, guys.
Why, Motorola?
That's such a shame after they went with this whole Kevlar thing.
Yeah, you don't have the Ultra Max there, do you? Because that's Kevlar.
No, this is just the Ultra that I have, I believe.
It's a shame. There's no difference in the actual quality between the two.
Right.
But the Moto X looks so much better and more premium.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
Well, and this has a 5-inch display as well, and you can tell the DPI difference.
I meant the back, the device construction itself, the plastic.
Yeah, I think I need to look up the specs again. I think on paper it's thinner as well, at least as far as where the bulge is in the back.
The Moto X
still talking slime factor.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's plastic. If you hate plastic, you won't like the Ultra.
But Phil, both of those phones you just showed us were plastic. One looks much nicer than the other.
Yep.
Even though it's not, there's absolutely no difference other than the finish.
These phones are crazy. So similar. I mean, it's funny, even just using it in the first 30 seconds, I'm like, all right, yeah, I've been using the Moto X for 2 weeks and exact same experience, just about.
Yeah, but talk about the capacitive buttons and the menu key, because
yeah,
that's a big difference.
It's got capacitive buttons there on the bottom, and yeah, so they got to do something with the menu key, and yeah, they have the black bar like HTC does. So I guess we can quit dog cussing HTC now, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It just seems strange that they've done that on these phones, because ever since the Ice Cream Sandwich days, every Motorola phone has gone with the on-screen buttons. It seems really odd to go back now on one line of devices, and then you've got the Moto X, which is...
And even the last line of droids had them.
Yeah,
I wonder if Verizon, you know, mandated that. I don't know.
I want a manufacturer to make one that the black bar, instead of having three dots, just says, "This app sucks."
It still comes back to that. Yeah, I mean, app developers need to clean stuff up, right? Mm-hmm. Facebook finally did it. And I tell you, dog cuss Facebook all you want, because they deserve a lot of it. I think they're going in the right direction.
Oh, yeah.
Especially look at how they've been running their beta app. And the way, I mean, because we have a beta track on our app now, and it's a pain getting people to do that, right? And I think they did a really nice job explaining that. So they're putting some effort into it. They're going to get better. They're still going to be evil, but they're getting better.
But back to the Droid Ultra, though. So why is anybody going to buy this when the Moto X is on the shelf next to it?
That's the big question. The Ultra... You know, is
because I can see the Max and I can see the Mini. Like I get that. You know, if you want the super huge battery or the smaller form factor.
Well, but this one has a 5-inch display, and this one only has a 4.7-inch display.
Well, one is 1080 and one 720. Mm-hmm. Right?
True.
No. Both of these are 720.
Oh, I thought they went 1080 on the large ones.
I don't know about the Max.
I'm pretty sure they
did. But Ultra is 720 and a 5-inch display. You can tell. I can see the difference in that more than I can in the Moto X. So
and you asked why someone would choose that over the Moto X, and surely the Droid branding is going to have a lot to do with that.
Oh yeah, you walk into a Verizon store, there's going to be a huge display for the Droids, and the Moto X is going to be, you know, teetering on the edge of a trash can back in the corner somewhere.
We'll have to see how much of that marketing budget that Motorola is putting forward is going to go into those kind of big displays and things like that. But on the software front, they're pretty much the same, right? Aside from a bunch of Droid sounds and wallpapers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Is there a Droid sheep sound? Because if there's not, there will be.
No, all right. Explain while I'm looking to see what horrible sounds this has on it, Jerry. Explain the sheep.
Oh, Alex or Andrew, let us hear it. That's the best explanation.
I'll find it while you explain what happened.
This Huawei phone they have has the greatest notification sound in the world built into the system.
I don't think I've heard this. This is going to be useful.
And that's not it.
I hate these so much.
All right. Ready?
Yeah, go ahead. All right. Here's your sheep.
Yes, I use that for everything now.
And that's the text message ringtone. It's not the default one, but it's definitely there.
Oh, my God.
You want that for every message and that LG alarm for your...
Yes, that's exactly how my phone's set up.
Oh, man. What else? This has the Droid Zap thing, which is kind of like what Samsung does. If there are other people with Droid Zap-compatible phones nearby, you can shoot them stuff, whatever.
Does the Moto X have Droid Zap? Because it's not a Droid, is it, even though it's the same phone?
Right.
So, and it will only... And it's a weird thing where only Droid phones can send, but some other phones can receive. It's really weird.
So you can send and receive anything you want between people who have one of those three phones?
I'll have to play with it some more.
That doesn't sound very useful.
You know, that's reason enough not to buy one. I'm sorry. Come on.
And again, it brings me back to, other than the familiarity of the branding, what is drawing people to the Ultra over the Moto X?
Wait, here's my question, and this is a serious question, given the state of today's society. Look at the back of this, right? I'm going to run it down the camera here so you can see it. You know what's missing?
The 4G Verizon label 4G LTE.
Yeah, it doesn't have 4G LTE label on there.
Huh.
I mean, it's got Verizon, but it's not. It's that 4G LTE that makes it look horrible.
They've not snuck that past everyone. It's actually a CDMA-only phone.
But it's got Droid Zap, man.
It's not even. What was before Rev A? It was just. It was Rev Zero, wasn't it? I mean, I forget what it was.
Rev Zero, right?
It's actually a TDMA device, and
yeah, it should just say 1XRTT on the back in print.
Look, I joke. It's a nice phone. They're gonna sell a lot of these probably, especially the big ones. I think. I mean, God, I'm.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the battery is on this, but. I'm assuming it's bigger than the 2,200 milliamp hours here, and I'm getting, you know, 14, 18 hours out of this all day. You know, it's nice. I can't even imagine just how insane it would be with a 3,000 milliamp hour battery in it.
I think they, like, push the Colorado River through it, and they have a little turbine inside the back.
So that's the Ultra. I'm going to send that up to Andrew to review, because I'm still riding the Moto X, but I'm getting there.
Andrew,
progress.
If you finish that before he gets the Moto X done, I will buy you a beer.
It's entirely possible. Look, I'm enjoying the hell out of the Moto X.
Good.
Yeah, no, and I keep finding, like, you know, this Bluetooth stuff, finally getting to experience that and play with it. And it's like, whoa, that needs to be written. Oh, you know what else we finally did? We got it up today is the Moto Maker experience. So Motorola let us all customize our own, you know, AT&T Moto X's to try out the process, and worked exactly like you think it would. If you haven't watched the video, it's on the site. Definitely go watch it.
And that's oh man, you know what? To us, it is so hokey that I can get on the internet and pick the wallpaper and the color of my phone, but it's not, people. My wife watched. I Phil let me look at his video a little early yesterday while I was off. My wife watched it with me, and she said, Jerry, does that phone run good like this one I have? And I said, yeah, it's pretty good. And I showed her some videos of you know, hands-on with it. And she said, well, we're buying one of them. She doesn't care about anything else. It will do what she wants to do, and she can pick the color. That they're marketing it the right way here.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't do anything dumb and be like, here's the pink girl section.
Nope. You know,
here are all the girly colors, and which is smart. I was a little afraid they'd do that. You know, it's very simple, very self-explanatory. I mean, go watch our video, but you don't need to figure it out. You know, it was cute and funny that you can get, you know, something inscribed on the back of it, but you can't get the words, you know, Motorola or Android or Apple or whatever, but I can put Steve Jobs or Steve Ballmer or, you know,
Bing.
You can't put curse words on there, and yes, I tried. And that makes sense. I know. We like to make a big deal out of it because, oh my God, it's potty words. But, you know, whatever. So you got to pick something. If you haven't heard what I put on the one we did, it'll be funny, I think.
So I have to put BMF on the back.
BMF. I mean, so that's cool. It was a fun experience. You got to be careful, though, right? I mean, it's not just I'll have a black phone, I'll have a white phone. This is. You're designing it. You're going to have to live with it. You're spending a lot of money on it. And if you ever want to sell it again, you know, don't put your name on the back of it, I suppose.
Put Phil's name on the back of it, and it'll be worth more.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But the other thing is Motorola's working on more designs. So if you don't like what you see there now, you know, it's on their Facebook page. They've been doing a poll of, hey, here are a bunch of designs. Tell us which ones you like, including, like, a plaid one, which I thought was really cool.
Make
Hello
it
Kitty.
Happen. Make it happen.
Sure, love the plaid one.
And we all know they're working on wood, right? They were going to have one or two wood backs later this year. So if you want that, you're going to have to wait. So don't necessarily rush out and get the first thing. But I tell you, I mean, that's what's going to happen. Someone's going to design this thing, and then the next day, Motorola's going to come out with some awesome back.
AstroTurf.
And don't you wish you will be the only ones who can use it for the first 90 days.
Right. Yeah. So at least that mitigates some of it. So hopefully by the time that Motomaker opens up to all the other carriers that they'll have these additional designs made. But it's just really weird that they're telling people to not buy the device on the first day.
Well, they're not saying it, but we are.
Well, no, that's what they're saying, though. They're saying these things will not be ready on day one.
Yeah, but they're only saying that to the nerds that read the internet.
Oh, and on their Facebook page.
Yeah, I mean, look, and they've been upfront about it, right? It's not like it's a secret, but it's something.
That's what I think is the problem, though, is they should have just had them ready to go.
Yeah.
Well, are you going to delay a whole product launch just because your two wooden backs covers aren't ready?
Yeah, I mean,
I think so.
And the wood could suck, right? It could be full of aphids and disease, and no, it's not going to be. That's an outlier, right? They're going with the stuff they know works at first. I have no problem with that. But the wood's really cool, guys. The wood is so cool.
Exactly. Don't buy the Moto X until the wood comes out.
Yeah. be patient, right? If you don't see it, you like, just be patient.
Well, I have no choice. Damn carrier exclusive nonsense.
I'm not happy about that. I haven't shared with you guys what I wrote on that in the review yet. But
is it words you're not allowed to put on the back of the?
No. I shook a finger once or twice at him. Yeah, I'm not happy about that either. Right?
They deserve more than a couple wags of a finger, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, it's business. Here's what I said. Actually, you want to? I'll read it to you. How about that? Would you like me to read you that?
Oh, yes. I'm reading from Phil Nickenson.
Preview.
This is what I came for.
I gotta find it. Nope, that's not it. That's not it either. Oh my God! I just erased the whole thing. Now, here we come to one of the cooler and simultaneously frustrating things about Moto X. You can design your own. It'll be assembled in Fort Worth, Texas, and be on your doorstep within 4 days. Moto Maker, they call it. And with the service, you can choose from a number of colors for the back of the phone. Either white or black from the front, blah, 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 blah. It's great. And it only works if you're in the U.S. and are on AT&T. Being landlocked to America, we get. Custom phones are assembled in Texas. You got to get them into the waiting hands quickly. But the AT&T exclusive on custom designs, while everyone else has their choice of either white or black, has the stench of business as usual in a time in which Motorola is trying to experience a rebirth. All right. I mean, it's half a finger wag, maybe.
Throw a big old F word in there. That'd be perfect.
It's just so stupid. It's way beyond the extra patterns and things for a Moto Maker. It's saying, again, you can have this phone, but you have to have the plain black and white one, even though a huge selling point of the phone is being able to make it.
Well, let me ask this. Is that better? Would it have been better for AT&T to have the exclusive on certain backs, like certain really cool designs?
No, that would be just as bad. People would complain just as much.
We see that all the time with special edition colors, right? The Galaxy S4 is available in purple on one carrier, brown and one, and red on another.
They all look horrible.
They do.
That's the difference.
Red one looks interesting. But the greater point, though, is why did Motorola didn't have to take AT&T's terms on this. You know they could have figured something out.
I imagine a few dollars went with those terms.
But Motorola doesn't need money. On that front.
Well, they do. They're making a loss of.
They don't need. Doesn't matter.
Sure it does.
It's important. Well, so
No. See, you're trying to equate Motorola with Google, and that's just not the way it works.
Well, what I'm saying is that they took money from AT&T to not take money from customers on four other carriers.
Yep, that's what AT&T is paying for.
I highly doubt that AT&T. Can pay them enough to make up for.
I know that's exactly what they. That's how it works.
Yeah.
That's exactly how it works.
AT&T is the customer.
Yeah.
No, I think that Motorola is losing a lot of brand equity in that. Yes, they're still going to sell black and white ones. They're going to sell a lot of them, sure. But their advertisements are going to be, come make your own phone, unless you're everybody but on AT&T.
Yeah.
Andrew's turning into a hippie. I love it.
it's just dumb. Motorola is doing a lot of things. It's the same phone, the same phone across every carrier, unified branding, all of this crazy stuff, and then they're like, well, F you unless you're on AT&T.
Mm-hmm. And same if you're in Europe, and if it seems like an umbrella, yeah, that's why. Because
yeah, well, we figured you guys were so used to it, nobody would notice.
Yeah, true.
No, I agree. It's and part of that's, what's that noise? Jerry, it's you. You're making noise again.
I'll mute.
Yeah, I mean, some of that's logistics, right? It's you're assembling these things in Texas, and they've given themselves a 4-day deadline between the time you hit, you know, send to the time you're supposed to get the phone. I get that. It sucks, but...
Yeah, and they've said they'll have different products for Europe and for other parts of the world, and we'll see what they do there. I doubt the customization side of it is going to make it across, because that's a whole logistical thing that you have to manage. Look,
and the plain black and, you know, black or white phone is still pretty good. So,
interesting. I'm kind of hoping we'll get the Macs over here, because... I've used them before, and it's awesome to have the kind of battery life you get out of those.
Right. I want to stop talking about Moto X. I'm tired of talking about it, so I got to finish writing about it. I think everybody's tired of me talking about it until I finish writing.
While we're busy ranting about carrier exclusives, could we talk about the G2 wireless charging?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Verizon.
G2, or not Optimus G2. Damn, just the G2. It's taken some getting used to. Continue.
So,
well, go ahead, Alex. You wrote the original story.
I kind of put in that. Verizon's got exclusivity over the wireless charging feature on the G2. They also have exclusivity over horrible logos on the G2. They have a logo in the top right corner, which just looks awful, and 4G LTE logo, and just a whole list of them all the way down the back. So kind of the same way they did with the 8X, I think, last year. They get exclusivity over that. Presumably, it's going to be like a Qi charging type thing that they use.
Well,
and it's I don't want to say it's weird, but it's this phone is kind of four or five different phones if you look at the way the specs are arranged. Korea gets a removable battery, I think. They get a smaller battery, but it is removable. Certain countries get an SD card. Europe is getting getting wireless charging, but with a certain accessory that you have to buy. So in the way that Samsung's done in the past, the branding is the same across the world, but there are these little hardware differences that mean that you're going to have a very different experience with it depending on where you are and which carrier you use.
This phone is totally different. It's business as usual.
Yeah, it's just kind of moving along with the same. They're moving more into the Samsung camp rather than the prior LG camp, where they're doing unified branding but different phones rather than distinct devices, but there are going to be differences.
And the unified branding is a good thing. I don't think you really... It's confusing, right, when you get wireless charging on one carrier but not on the other, but I think that there's no glaring... The design hasn't really changed drastically, I don't think, across any carriers across the world. You've still got... It's still plastic, it's still mostly screen on the front, and you've still got that weird button thing on the back. So, yeah, the fact that they're launching on all four in the US, and they've got a few in the UK, presumably got all of them in Korea, and this is going to be a single LG brand across a lot of the major carriers in the world. That's a big step forward for them.
Right. It's a lot better than they did with the original Optimus G, that's for sure.
It's, you know, and again, I'm going back to my, you know, 2 hours with the thing a couple weeks ago, but there was something about it that just, in the age of the HTC One and now the Moto X, it's like, okay, it's just more of the same, you know, GS4 type big piece of plastic. We'll see if the volume rocker, you know, gimmick works. I just didn't get the feeling that there was, you know, hey, we're trying something new and different to differentiate and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, and as I'm using the Moto X more and more, because really I wasn't done talking about it when I said I was, it's so simple. And even the things that are added in are pretty subtle about it. They're not, I'm a volume button and I'm on the back of the phone and you will deal with me. It's just, you know, hey, here's this cool little Bluetooth thing to do. Or if you want to talk to your phone and get it to do something, you can. And even that's not perfect, but it's there if you want it. And this active display thing, like, you get used to it so quickly. It's not in the way. It feels very natural, whereas all this other stuff and throwing 3,000 features into a phone, it's just... maybe it's me as a reviewer in doing this for a living. You just start to get burned out on it a little bit. And it's nice to have a phone that's just like, you know what, here I am. Just use me.
And it's clear they're it's not a carbon copy in the same way that something like the Optimus G Pro is a carbon copy of the Note, but they're clearly following Samsung's lead here.
Right.
Into like the shape of the design, the fact that it's mostly plastic, the front is mostly screen.
Jerry, you're allowed
stuff with the buttons, that's fair enough.
Jerry, you're allowed to unmute yourself here and chime in.
I'm just biting my tongue and glad that it's muted.
No, come on.
I get that everything needs to look the same, but I think the last thing Alex just said is they are, you know, clearly following Samsung's lead. I get why that has to happen, but that means that they're not trying the crazy new ideas the people they hired in R&D are coming up with, and that makes me sad.
Well, they kind of are, and it's not, like I say, it's not a carbon copy feature for feature of the GS4, right. Although there's some stuff they have just ripped from Samsung wholesale, like the dual camera stuff.
I don't care about 24-bit 192 audio.
Nope.
Cool that you did it, but just make it the spec. I don't, 99% of the people aren't going to notice the difference. You know, vast majority of audio is not going to take advantage of it anyway. It's like, it's not a spec that matters.
Agreed.
You've got this weird way of multitasking that, again, I'll really withhold judgment until we get to spend more time on it, and that should be in the next couple of weeks when they get the software ironed out. But it's like, okay, I have to think about it. That's been the funniest thing for me in writing up the Moto X. It's just, it's got all this different stuff, and I'm finding more of it the more I use it. But it's not difficult. It doesn't feel unnatural. Even, as much as I love the HTC One, that phone took a lot of figuring out, right? How many off-the-record briefings did I go through? And even then, I didn't really, I wasn't capable of explaining it until having used it for 2 or 3 weeks. And even then, people don't necessarily understand it, right? Moto X, just the stuff that's been put in there is very natural. So here's my question to you guys. Are we going to see this touchless control, are we going to see that built into Android, or is that so hardware specific, Jerry, you think they're going to keep it out?
I don't know, Phil. I'm sorry, Alex.
Nope. Go ahead, Jerry.
I think it's a lot more hardware specific than anybody really wants to give it credit for.
Mm-hmm.
This extra stuff Motorola is doing, and they're calling it X8, and these cores that aren't really ARM cores and stuff going on that they're not telling everybody the whole story on, so we don't completely understand, but it's there, and it's what keeps your phone from draining your battery to do all this stuff. Without that hardware, this same experience is going to kill your battery and make your phone suck. So I don't know if Google's going to add the stuff to do that to the next reference phone and build it into Android or not?
Supposedly there was something similar to what Motorola is doing with specifically the stuff that's always listening for voice commands that's built into Snapdragon 800.
Mm-hmm.
So if that allows things to be the same going forward, then that's still only part of the market. There are other CPU vendors out there, but if that's in Snapdragon 800, then that potentially less a stock Android phone, a reference device, come out with that in.
Yep, if it's... I'm pretty sure there's a lot of stuff built into these chips that no vendors are using. There's a lot of room left.
Look, and that goes back years, right?
Yeah.
That's not new. What about this Bluetooth, the trusted, devices thing?
That needs to be in Android.
That's pretty easy to slip in there, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a lot to do with getting Android running on wearable devices that we see in the next release, and a lot to actually deal with the reality of running two devices on Android, one on your wrist or on your head or wherever, and one on your phone, and getting that relationship smoothed out.
What else?
We had a lot of stuff we're expecting at IFA this week, a lot of sort of leaks and hints at things that we're probably going to get. We've got Samsung supposedly working on a watch, and that's going to be one of the things that they show. We're hearing, I think the Wall Street Journal did a thing today on that. And that's probably going to be the first in a series of many, many smartwatches that we see in the next few months. We've got Apple as well. They've got an event supposedly on the 10th. Galaxy Note 3 and the specs for that started appearing this week. I think, for me, Samsung devices are all about features rather than specs. It isn't just about the specs, and that's been the case for every major release they've had in the past 18 months or so. So the specs only tell part of the story. I think we have to wait and see when we get hands-on time with that, and see how they bring things forward, because it's been a year since the Note 2, and devices are getting bigger and more powerful, and we'll have to see what they do with that.
Don't forget the Optimus View.
Yeah, there's a new Optimus.
The View colon 3.
I'm getting excited for IFA. That should be fun.
Sony's got that crazy lens camera thing. I don't even think there's a proper name for what that is yet, that kind of device. Yeah.
What do you think, Alex? I want to love that, but I just can't.
It's going to be, if what leaked this week is true, that's going to be an example of innovation that we have, probably one of the most innovative things to come out of Sony in a long time, and especially in mobile. I mean, it's a device that pairs with your phone over NFC, then handles data presumably over Wi-Fi Direct or something like that, and clips to the back of your phone, and you can use your phone as a viewfinder. You can then share images from it, and the whole camera assembly is in this lens-like contraption, which is no larger than the lens of a normal point-and-shoot. It's just clipped on the back of the phone.
It'll be a huge improvement over what we have on our phones now.
Absolutely.
Even if they do it poorly, it'll be a huge improvement.
It's a step forward, whatever they do. Even if it's clunky and it's a version 1.0 product, it's probably going to have some issues.
My biggest problem, and I say this as a fan of Sony devices, I love their computers and their electronics, that thing's going to cost $900 easy.
I don't know. It's not going to be cheap. I would probably put it around $400 or $500.
Yeah, well, I mean...
I can see it selling for that. And the thing is, it's not just... Again, this is part of the leak, so it may or may not be accurate, but supposedly this is not just for Sony phones, it is for any Android or iOS device, and that could be huge for them.
Yes.
It's got to be cheaper than an RX100, because it's just the RX100 sensor and lens.
It's the RX100 Mark II sensor.
Mark II, yeah.
The better one. It's a really high-end sensor.
Level.
Extremely.
I'm excited for that. It should be interesting to see what they come out with. And, of course, they got a new phone.
Phil will just buy us all one.
Hey, look, there goes my watch. There's a lot of fun stuff coming up. I'm getting excited. It's good when I get excited because I'm not tired.
Yep.
So, anything else? You want to dive into some emails and we'll get out of here? I feel like we're forgetting... Oh, actually, we are forgetting something kind of big.
We're forgetting North Korea's Android phone.
Well, yeah, and North Korea has an Android phone, which in no way will spy on you. Well, I mean, any more than...
Probably has less branding than a Verizon phone.
Yeah. It's just got Kim Jong-un's or whoever. Which Kim? We'll just call him Kim. We're on a first name basis. Yeah. It's just got his face on the back of it. Yeah.
That would be sweet. I'd buy one.
No, the Verizon picture. The Verizon HTC One will be here on August 22nd. And here's the interesting part: it's running.
You'll have Kim Jong-il's face on.
Yeah,
I'm muting my microphone.
Stop it
again.
It'll be running Android 4.2.2 out of the box, which is interesting. But even more interesting, and somebody pinged me with something today, and I'm sorry I don't have your name in front of me. That was referenced by HTC's Jason Dunn, who we actually know. It was kind of teasing that, hey, maybe you won't be getting the Android 4.2.2 update for the other carriers. Maybe you're getting something else. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, right? So, there was that rumor way back that we might see 4.3 instead of 4.2.2.
Hmm.
So we'll see.
Yeah, and we've heard that the other carriers have the code. So it's just a case of whether it's worth getting that through certification or whether whether 4.3 is far along to just skip to that. We'll have to see.
Here's my prediction. AT&T will pump out its 4.3 update probably about the time I'm a third of the way over the Atlantic going to IFA.
No, far too early.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, I heard end of September.
Oh, okay.
My prediction, is this one that, you know, came in a box that said developer edition. No matter how much I shake it, won't get the latest version of Android on it, and I'm getting a little bit pissed.
You can just flash the Google Play edition ROM.
That's not what I want.
That's not the point, but you can do that.
This one has it.
Well, send it back. Just send it back.
Nobody gets hurt.
Well, I just, you know what? They have a good reason. I'm 100% sure they have a good reason. They're not just doing it to piss Jerry off. So tell us. Tell us why, and we'll accept it. We have to. That would settle me down completely.
Well, here's the thing. What do HTC have to deal with when they release a phone or an update in the US? They don't have to deal with when they release a phone in Europe unlocked.
Right.
It's the carriers. Some way or other, it has to do with the carriers.
So throw them carriers under the bus, HTC. Do it. We'll love you for it. But tell us something.
All right. Anything else? Should we do some emails and we'll get out of here?
Let's do some emails.
Who wants to go first? Nobody? All right. I will go first. Adam writes, I have the Galaxy S4, and Samsung has offered a lot of shooting options that make for great commercials, but I find they either don't work very well or they're just not practical to use. We're talking about all the camera features. The eraser and best face modes are great in concept, but they fail because I have to specifically choose these modes. I tend to shoot in auto mode and take lots of pictures of my kids, so if I had to change to one of these modes, take the picture, interact with my phone to edit the picture, I will have lost a lot of shooting opportunities. Also, their drama mode is another great example, but I can rarely get it to work. Is there any device, third-party software, or other ways to duplicate these modes after you take the pictures? For example, it'd be great to take a burst mode of 10 pictures and then choose which face I want on each person and then stitch it together later when I have time instead of doing it right away. I have the same problem. That's why I just don't use those features.
Yeah, same here.
You know what? I spent an afternoon at the park with my wife and used the animated photo to take pictures of the ducks.
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly where he's coming from. That's it's neat, but it's a pain. Yeah. It's just not practical.
To use it in anything other than just ideal controlled situation, mm-hmm. it's horrible. It takes far too long to get to the setting. It takes far too long to enable it. And when it's running, a lot of them, like eraser mode, are difficult to... If you're taking multiple shots, you have to see it through to the end. Otherwise, you know, you have to exit out of the camera app, otherwise then you've got to go back in, and it's just a whole lot of hassle.
And that's the sort of thing that Motorola is trying to go against now with these very simplified camera apps, but at the same time, it doesn't even do it perfect, right? All these great example shots, and they're just not that good.
And to HTC's credit, they do all this stuff after the photo's been taken. I think all of HTC's stuff is basically based around either Zoe's or burst mode. And you take all the photos, then it dumps them onto the card, and the way of handling that is actually the gallery app.
But I can't,
which is not very useful if you have a Galaxy S4. But just
I can't think of any third-party software that's going to help Adam. I mean, it may be out there if anybody's listening.
You've got to have the source to be able to do that, right? You've got to have the raw images anyway.
Yeah, you have to have that sensor data, not just the picture. Yeah.
And there's a reason why manufacturers have to license this stuff, is because it's not easy to do. And it's not going to be easy to do in a third-party app any more than it is in something you develop yourself for your own hardware.
Yeah. All right, next.
I got it. Paolo writes, I need a solution to Google Plus photo storage. My wife and I currently have Android phones that we use as our main form of photography. Google Plus Instant Upload works great, but I have not found a way to instantly upload both of our pictures to one primary account. Is there a way to link multiple family members to a single Instant Upload album via our Android phones so that everyone can see our pictures?
Could you possibly do something with Pages?
Maybe.
That's not ideal, but you could maybe do that.
I mean, other than putting both Google accounts on both phones.
Maybe using one.
You know what I would do? Just as soon as they get uploaded, open up the G Plus app and share it. Share the album that it created with your significant other wife.
Yeah, but that's not instant. That's still... Nope. I mean, the best thing I can think of is not Google Plus, and that would be to use Dropbox and then share that folder. Wonder. I actually do that.
It's just for specific events. What about party mode?
Yeah. Ooh.
Specific events works, but if they're looking to have auto upload all the time, then
yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. The shared Dropbox account's best there.
Yep. Moving on to Benjamin, who wants to...
All right, I've got Benjamin. Benjamin writes, last week I bought a Nexus 4 from the Google Play Store in the UK, and when it came through, I was surprised to see that it was the old design without the small nubs on the back to keep the phone off the surface. I remember that a while back noticing that the design update on some Nexus 4s that you had purchased a while back, so I was just surprised they were not on mine. Any idea why? I love the show and listen every week on my iPod.
I actually know the answer to that. It's a secret society of nub thieves that go from town to town stealing the little nubbins off your Nexus 4. I've said too much.
Sounds legit.
But in reality, there's just a huge warehouse in Ireland full of Nexus 4s or that they just haven't got through yet.
Not everyone's going to be on the new hardware design, right?
Yeah. Stock is stock, right? It happens.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they didn't just incinerate all the old ones.
It's from the end of Indiana Jones where they stored the Ark of the Covenant. Those are all filled with Nexus 4.
Top men are watching.
Mm. And if you take the back of one of the old Nexus 4, your face does actually melt.
All right, who's got the last one?
I got Tyson. Tyson writes, I currently have an HTC Resound on Verizon with my contract expiring in November. I'm very interested in the Nexus 4 and going with AT&T prepaid since AT&T and Verizon are the only providers I can get signal. Is it worth buying a Nexus 4 or waiting for the next Nexus phone, which should be released around the same time my contract expires? Three things I like the most about the Nexus 4 are stock Android with current updates, wireless charging built in, the fact that it's $350 off contract for 16 gigs. I must admit, I like the HTC One, but after my experience with the Resound, I'm afraid to try another HTC. I also like the Moto X, but I suspect it will be in the $500 to $600 range off contract.
Holo YOLO, Tyson. Holo YOLO.
Well, if you have to wait till around November anyways,
yeah,
you might as well not pull the trigger on a Nexus 4, although it is a great value today.
Mm-hmm. And we've got to say there's no guarantee the next Nexus, whatever it is, will be as good a value or as anywhere near as cheap as the current
one. Exactly.
Yeah. You
depends
know,
who's
yeah.
making it and how much Google's willing to subsidize.
The Nexus 4 is probably the best $350 cell phone ever made.
Yep.
But if you want to spend a little
but it's
more...
It's also not a $350 cell phone. It's selling for $350, and that's the difference.
And if you can live with your Resound for another 3 months or whatever it is, then...
Hang in there.
Yeah.
It's not easy, we know. That's it, I think. We're done.
Yep.
Wow. I'll wrap it up. Email us at podcast@androidcentral.com if you'd like us to tackle your question in one form or another. Circle us all on Google Plus, just search our names, and especially Jerry, because he is the most awesome since Burt Reynolds.
Who put that there?
For the rest of us. This document shared, where did that come from?
That was in there. I just left it in.
As we are every week, we are brought to you by shopandroid.com. You can call them at 888-468-6158 or just, shopandroid.com, because the internet's, it's a good thing. That's it. Jerry? Andrew?
Bill?
Alex?
Bill?
Chat room? Hi, chat room. I know I didn't talk to you guys yet. Hi, everybody at home listening later. I'm trying to think what other news we got going on. The Android Central app, if you haven't tried it yet, go do it. And if you want to get in on the beta testing, we are getting really close to putting out version 1.4 into beta testing before it goes live to everybody. I haven't actually seen it yet, but hopefully any day now. I do know we're getting close. I just, I can't put an ETA on it. But it's coming, so we got that. What else? We just passed 300,000 Twitter followers, by the way, which is insane. Thank you.
Bingo.
Never thought that would happen. What else? I'm feeling good. I'm gonna go finish my Moto X review now, I think.
And I've got the Nexus 7 sleeve. You can look for that in a couple days, too.
Cool. All right.
Cool. Wait, three words, Andrew. Mm. Buy it or no?
It's really nice. That's three words.
Okay, three words. Excellent.
Cool. All right. You guys, thank you so much for listening. Jerry, Alex, Andrew, thank you. See you next week.
Good night, Phil.
See you later.
Later.